This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
It's good to see you guys. It is a rainy day, but we're glad that you guys are here as we continue in our series that we're calling Transformed. This is the last week of that as we're looking to be transformed like Jesus. And I'm really excited about today's message and what God's doing. I've been thinking about this for a while, and the thing we're going to talk about is transform conversations that lead to meaningful relationships, which I think you can apply to everything in life. I mean, everything in life is about relationships, whether it's friendships, in marriage, family, you name it, we're always dealing with relationships, and this is something we hope that we can really transfer into life applications. Now, today, we are talking about conversations, and Jesus was a master at that. If we want to be like Jesus, we have to master good conversations. He was able to draw things out of people just instantly sometimes, just get down to the depth of who they were, ask them great questions, spur conversations, whether it was the woman at the well or one of his best friends like Simon Peter. We see some great conversations just off the cuff sometimes, and that's what we want to talk about. And today, Rodney's going to join us. I don't think we've ever done anything like this, and we were talking this morning that we have known each other for 20 years now. He is a good friend. He is a founding elder at Bridges. And a couple of things that I really have appreciated about Rodney over the years is a couple of things. One is his complete faithfulness to everything he does. He does so much around here. He's a great servant. He dumped the trash at the end of the day. He's in charge of that, facilities. But the main thing I think I've gotten from Rodney is his faith. In our elder meetings, a lot of times we'll bounce things around, and Rodney always comes back to God's in control. And it just adds this peace to it, this sense of God's got this, and so we always are on track, and so I appreciate that about him a lot. Now, one of the things I was interested in is a few months ago, he came up and started talking about this podcast he had listened to, and when Rodney gets excited about something, you can see it just light up in his life and everything, and the podcast he was listening to was called No Small Endeavor, and one of our small groups is going through that right now. And to hear him talk about everything, and there was one in particular that I think that stood out to him, and it was based on a book by a lady named Dr. Heather Holloman, and we have this on the screen. It's called The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting in an Age of Isolation and Incivility. And I think in your message notes today and on the back, there are QR codes. You can get that book. It was $2.99 on Amazon the other day, so it's well worth it. And I think you gained a lot about this. And so, Rodney, what was it about that book and that podcast that was intriguing to you?
Yeah, the intriguing thing for me was just how do we have conversations? And not just conversations, but good conversations. And for us, good conversations ultimately lead to talking about Christ. She and her husband had written a book about how to share Christ. And people could say, well, that's great, but could you start and just show us how to have conversations because we don't have those anymore? And secondly, for us, when we were deciding, trying to put together how we would do a small group on mental health, we thought this tied in really well. Today, we're dealing with diseases of despair, like depression and loneliness and suicidal thoughts. This, according to a Harvard Grant study, is what we need to be talking about, where we're going having meaningful and close relationships. The same thing we would do in discipleship making. She had a really great question. Do conversations create personal closeness? And is it really true that when you have a good conversation, it could intervene in a loneliness epidemic? The answer was yes.
And I can imagine something that stood out in the book, I don't think we even talked about, was she had a conversation with one of her students at Penn State, and the student said, "No one ever asked me about myself." And if you're a young person, you probably walk in that world sometime where you seem like no one really cares. And I think she was kind of alluding to it's really about caring about people and being concerned. One of the main parts about the book that stood out to me in the podcast was this idea of four mindsets that lead to loving conversations. And really preparing us, they're there on your outline if you want to follow along. And so, Rodney, can you walk us through the four mindsets that lead to loving conversations?
Sure. The first one is to be curious. And this morning, you might say, "Rodney, why is your throat so deep and you sound so hoarse?" It's because I have this phlegmy thing going on for some reason. So I'm just going to be up front. I've got the water in case things turn sideways for me. But to be curious, Heather mentions in her book that the one trait she would like for all of her students to learn is that of being curious. It's also a great skill to learn in our professional work. And I know it's the big week for this week with relationships. They say being curious is the secret to all relationships. There you go, guys. May help you. Interesting quote from Dale Carnegie. He wrote the book How to Win Friends and Influence People. It sold like over 30 million copies. It says you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years of trying to get people to be interested in you. There you go. Everyone has a story, and every story has value. Think of people having a treasure inside of them. The story inside of them that makes them who they are. It's our job as Christians to unearth that story. But that can be scary, right? Because we have to tell. If they're telling their story, at some point they may ask us to tell our story. We'll talk more about that later, but that can be a little bit scary. The treasure that people have inside of them may be the thing that changes your life. She had a colleague at Penn State that she talked with, and his theory was, to be honest, Heather, I just don't like people. I don't care about them. I'm not curious about them. And her answer was, well, that's probably where we need to start with you.
Yeah, if you don't care about other people, you're not going to have good relationships. You're not going to have good conversations, right? It's just, yeah. I've got to get through this. And so it starts with the heart. One of the things I really liked about the book and the podcast as well is really the theological underpinnings of it. She does a lot with social sciences, and one of the things that she said was about science is what it does is reveal what God has already told us to be true. And she found as they went through this material and some of the things she's teaching that the scripture just has already said that thousands of years ago. Like Proverbs 20, verse 5, one of my favorites, it says this, someone's thoughts may be as deep as the ocean, but if you're smart, you will discover them. And it's the idea the person across from you, there's something inside that they want to be told. There's something inside they want to share, and the smart person, the wise person, is able to draw them out, is to be able to ask them the right questions, go, what's inside of you? What's valuable in there? God has put it there. Let me help you explain it or share it. And I bet a lot of you are here today, and you're going, I wish somebody would just kind of help me express myself because there's a lot going on inside of me. Ephesians 2:10, a great verse to kind of fall back on. Paul says this, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. It's the masterpiece part. The original word is the word poema, that everybody that you're sitting across from at lunch or at school or in your family is a masterpiece from God. It's like going to an art gallery and looking at a masterpiece and seeing all the details in the painting, or reading a poem or lyrics from a singer and going, oh, wow, that really speaks to me. Well, what God's saying is that person that's sitting near you or your friend, they're a masterpiece. I think it's more attuned to looking at a beautiful sunset or going to the mountains and seeing a waterfall, and you just sit there in awe of it. Well, you know the greatest masterpiece that God's ever made is human being. And right across from you at any time, there is a beautiful story that God is telling through them that you can find out about. One of the things, again, I love about this book, there was so much I learned. It's a quick read. It's an easy read. But she gave some really practical things, some questions you can ask. And here's a question that if you want to find out more about a person and you want to be more curious, here's a question. You're asking this. What question do you like people to ask you about your life? It's a great conversation starter. So you're just sitting across from them and you go, what do you want me to know about you? What is a question that you've always wanted someone to ask that you want to tell them about? And just ask them that question and then sit back and listen to their story and what God's doing in their life. Another question to ask is this, what is one thing you're learning from God these days? I love to ask that question. What is one thing that you're learning from God? And just kick back. If God's doing something in their life, you want to hear about it. And just listen and soak it up and go, that's amazing. Now, what if they're not a follower of Jesus? What if they don't know God? You can still ask them, what are you learning these days? And just listen to their answer and absorb that. So the first thing in any good, meaningful relationship, if you're going to have a good conversation, is simply be curious about the person across from you and go, what is it about them that I can learn? That's the first mindset. So what's the second one?
The second one is to believe the best, or psychologists say, unconditional positive regard. I love that term, but it's the same as having God's unmerited favor towards us. Accept people for who they are without trying to change them or to judge them or to shame them. People who care about others, you want to be someone who cares about others, and that they are, that you're for them, that you believe in them, and that you believe the best for them. The mindset is, this is the one, obviously, I struggle with the most. I'm not always that way with folks, but to believe the best is what we start off with for me, and the one I've been working on the most since the book and reading the book and doing the podcast. And for Dr. Holloman, this changed her marriage. Early in her marriage, she kept lists of things that her husband had done, not done for her, like chores or ways wasn't meeting her needs. He wasn't meeting her needs. And her counselor told her, she said, well, just believe the best in your partner. And that changed everything for her. I think that's one of the things, as I work through, I'm trying to do, believe the best.
And I think it is hardest in our families and our close relationships. Sometimes we think the worst about people. And if you're kind of getting that cycle of being critical about people and always looking for the worst in them, that's going to be the mindset you're going to take into any conversation you have. And so you're already ready to tear them down or to look at the worst about them. This week is Valentine's, right? You guys knew that, right? We're not telling anything new. If you don't know, here's your warning. It's Wednesday. A lot of times we focus on the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where it explains the definition of love. And buried in that definition is a verse that I've skipped over so often, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7. And it says this about love. First of all, love bears all things. We get that. But then it says believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And here's the key: to believe the best about someone. To not question their motives, not look inside them and go, oh, you're thinking this, or the reason you're late is because of that, or you said this because you're trying to hurt me. Instead, looking at the person and going, I believe in you because I love you. I believe in who you are. I believe in what you're saying. I believe in your motives. I really believe the best in you. And it will change everything if you approach people that way. I believe the best because that's what love does. I believe in you. I believe you. And if your friends can sense that from you, if your family can sense that from you, it will change your relationships. Now, Colossians 4:6, Paul is writing to a church he grew to love, and he says this to them: let your conversation be gracious and attractive, so you have the right response for everyone. Gracious means to be grace-filled. Like when you're talking to someone, you are speaking well to them and well about people around you. Have you ever noticed how critical our culture can be? Or have you ever been in a group that all they do is tear everybody else down, or they hate on them, you know? And so that it brings the whole group down, right? It brings the whole group down instead of lifts them up. And one of the goals we should have with every conversation is, I want people to walk away feeling better about who they are. I want everybody to walk away feeling better about who God made them to be, and better about how he's working this world. So in other words, use your conversation moments, the time you're speaking, to be gracious, and your conversation to be attractive so people are lifted up. So that's the second mindset, is really believing the best in other people. What's the third one?
The third one is to express concern. The goal of a conversation is to listen and then to support, encourage, and inspire someone. The mindset is, I care about you as a human being, the very base part of it. And because we're drawn to people who are curious about us, but also who care about us. Remember what we're going through in our lives, and then ask how it's going. Follow up where, if there's anything they can do to reach out. Another way to think about it is like an investment in it. I'm into this conversation. I'm there for the failures, the successes, however it is. When we think about a relationship, it implies we both get to gain, to where there's successes, failures, but the trajectory is always up. We're both benefiting from this conversation. And expressing concern is kind of where the depth and meaning come from when we think about the meaningful and warm relationships the Harvard study talks about, and that's what we're longing for.
Exactly. I think everybody is. You're looking at that in all your friendships and all your relationships, this idea that someone really does care about me. In a world that doesn't seem to care about anybody, right? Cancel culture we deal with, and they just tear people down. We want to have our friends, our family, hey, I'm for you. I'm always for you. And you've heard the old adage, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's very important when we're interacting with people. They don't want to hear your advice or anything like that. I want to know if you just care about them as human beings. In the podcast, in the book, she references Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 several times. A great, great verse to kind of focus on. This is what Paul wrote to a group of churches. He said this, share each other's burdens and in the way obey the law of Christ. So as followers of Jesus, he tells us, if you love me, you're going to obey what I teach. And one of his great teachings is bear one another's burdens. And I want you to think about someone that's walking around and they are carrying some sort of weight. There's something that's bothering them, okay? And they're carrying it like in their shoulders or out in front of them. It's just weighing them down. Something's going on at home. Something's happened in their friendships. Something happened with a dream they had. And they're just carrying this burden. And what Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit is like, help them carry that. Help them carry that. And the best way to do that is through a conversation where you just are talking to them. You're not giving advice. You're not telling them all the answers. You're not telling them, hey, this is how I got through it. You're just listening to them. And in that way, you're helping them carry their burdens. Share that. Because some people, all they need to do is just, I need to tell somebody, and you could be that person to help them through, especially if they're going through something really difficult. There's a question she threw in. There's several questions that you can pick from the book, and we will try to share them. This is a question that Brandon and I heard when we went to a conference a few weeks ago, and it said, here's a great question to start with, and you can put it in your own way. What's the most stressful thing in your life right now? Can you imagine if you ask someone like that, or what's bothering you right now? I just want to hear from you. Is there something bothering you? I'm just here to listen. And see what happens when you ask that question. You may be there a while, and that's okay, because it's showing concern for the other person. I'm here for you. What's the most stressful thing you're dealing with? And then see what they have to say. Could be at work. You could share that with them and just say, okay, I'm here to listen. Paul wrote to so many different churches because he would go and spend months there, sometimes years at a church. He would build these relationships with them, and then he would leave, but he wouldn't forget them. And he would write these letters that we call the epistles in the Bible. One of the letters he wrote was to the church in Thessalonica. In chapter 2, verse 7, the first letter he wrote to him, he said this, instead, we were like young children among you. This is how we treated each other. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. A nursing mom knows everything about the baby, right? She watches everything the child's doing. She listens for the type of cry to figure out what's wrong with the child. Every, like, moment, like, is that child's okay? The little monitors that we put in the room, those of you who had children in your house, you know that monitor you're listening, their ear is always tuned to that. And Paul was a tough guy. I mean, Paul went through a lot of stuff. And Paul said, that's the way I was with you. I cared about you. I was concerned about you just like a mother would be. And I think that's a great thing we can learn about our conversations and relationships is just caring other people. So mindset number three was just expressing concern. What's the fourth one, the last one?
The fourth one is sharing your life. And I spoke about this a second earlier. This is hard for many of us. We would much rather listen to a conversation than to actually tell of our struggles and our concerns in our own lives. We fear being vulnerable with people, trusting someone else. Maybe it's just pride or shame that would stop us from sharing our lives. But in a conversation, we need to be partners in that. And it isn't just an interview that we're doing, right? We have to work to disclose personal information. In our small group, we start each one with what we call a spark question. This is a question that allows everyone to have an opportunity just to share a small piece of their personal life. Practice, right? We need to practice this stuff. There's a treasure in the person you're talking with. There's also a treasure inside of you, and they're trying to unearth it as well. So it's got to work both ways.
It does, doesn't it? And I think you may have heard this, or you may have said this, I don't like to talk about myself. And there's a lot of people like that. There's pretty much a lot of people in the South are that way. I don't like to share my struggles. I don't like to share what I'm going through. Well, the problem with that is you're going to miss a chance for a really deep, meaningful relationship. Now, you're not going to do this with everybody, but there's certain people you want to be able to do that with. And in our small groups, is something we really stress is, share the prayer requests. Let people into your life. Have people pray for you. Let them hear what God's doing in your life. Let them know the struggles. Because if we don't, we're going to lose out. Yeah. If we're just not going to be able to push through and really have meaningful conversations. And you're going to go, I wish I had done that. Now, the goal is to have balanced conversations, right? Where you share and they share, and so you're going back and forth. Just know this, there's going to be times where you just need to listen, right? There's times you're just going to be there, it's you're hurting, I need to hear from you. But there's other times you're going to approach it and go, I wish I could tell somebody. Well, find that safe place and tell them. Share your life. It will make a difference. What will typically happen if the Holy Spirit's working is you're going to tell your story and the other person's going, what, you too? I didn't know anybody else actually dealt with that. And then you're going to like have this moment with them. You're like, this is Holy Spirit-infused conversation. Because I've been through that. I know what you're feeling. At least I know from my angle. And I'm so glad to get this out now. So this is a point where God wants to work through you, especially through the hurts. And it's kind of the struggles that you're going to have. Just know that God's saying, use this moment. Share your life. Now, Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, he went a little further with this next verse, verse 8 of that same chapter 2. And he wrote this, because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. He was willing to go in and go, this is where I struggle. This is the good things God's doing. These are the tough things God's done in my life. This is the things he's taught me. And he was just able to share life. He said, I'm willing to enter into this place. And so I think it's a great lesson for us. Again, Paul would have been maybe hesitant sometimes to hold it back. But here he said, I came in there and we shared life. So there are the four mindsets, and as we think about that, Rodney, what is a takeaway you'd like us to walk away with from today?
I think the takeaway I think of most is that it does actually take all four of these mindsets for people to feel a warm and meaningful relationship, and it takes work from us. We're not going to be good at all four of these right away. We've got to work at this, but the payoff is that we have deeper, more meaningful relationships. And for us here, we have deeper, more meaningful relationships with Christ. And that's the point of what she was trying to get throughout the book.
And that's really good. And again, I think it's a step of faith for some of us. There is some risk involved when you share your life. But it's worth the step of faith to really get to where God wants us to go to help other people. There's a verse that she refers to a lot in the podcast. She refers a lot to in the book. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says this, and it was our reflection verse. Don't look out only for your own interests. In other words, don't always be about yourself, but take an interest in others too. Like, I'm going to think about you as a human being. I'm going to think about who you are, and I'm going to be interested in you as well, and what you're going through, and approach relationships that way. One of the things that was closed that we want to kind of get this skill down. This is an essential skill if we're going to be disciple makers. God has called us to make disciples, and it only happens through meaningful relationships. Be able to sit down with someone and go, I care about you as an individual. I'm not just checking off a box. I love you. I'm curious about your life and what God's doing in your life. I'm concerned about you. I value you. I believe in you. And finally, I want to share my life with you. When you're able to do those four things, God's able to change a life in front of you to help them walk with Jesus. And that's why this is so important to us. So we want to kind of just encourage you, think about this, maybe think about a relationship that today you want to apply this, and maybe ask them a question, like, what is a question you want me to ask you right now? What do you want me to ask you or to know about you? Maybe start there today. What's stressing you out? And just listen. Maybe you can apply some of this to a relationship you want to repair, or maybe one that you want to get a little bit closer to. And today at the end of the service, as normal, we have prayer time. And one of the things that our prayer time and our prayer team is really good at is just listening. And so you can come and just say, I want to just share something with you. And that's a big step of faith to kind of go, I want to get beyond maybe what some of the things are holding me back and see God at work. So go ahead and apply what you're learning. Let's ask God to do that. So let's pray together. Father God, I thank you for just bringing this to our attention. I thank you for Rodney and his group that have gone through this. And the other small group that's going through it now and some of this material and anyone that is here today that's looking for more meaningful conversations. I pray, Father, that you'll use this for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. And Father, even in today's world where people seem to be critical and tear each other down, I pray for those in this room that would be opposite of that. They'll actually be willing to bear burdens and build people up and encourage through good conversations. Help us to learn to apply this to disciple making. And I pray for anyone today that's here that's just struggling maybe in life and just need a listening ear. And I pray that they'll take a step of faith and share this with someone. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So again, we'll be here later. If you want someone to talk to or share with, we'll be glad to do that. Each week we do communion together is just a way to connect with Jesus. And we're talking about conversations and the type of conversations to have. Here's a conversation that the psalmist talked about in Psalm 71, verse 15. We're with this. All day long, I will tell the wonderful things that you do to save your people, but you have done much more than I could possibly know. Isn't that a great conversation to have with somebody? I mean, just to sit down and go, let me tell you what God's done in my life. I mean, there's our salvation to share, which is the best thing he's ever done. And if Jesus is the answer that everyone needs, then explain how he's the answer that you needed and what Jesus has done for you and how he's helped you. But he's also saved us in so many different conversations, right, that we had with him and just getting us out of trouble, or how we prayed for something and he moved, how he stepped into our hurts, how he healed us, how he saved us out of a bad relationship maybe. Jesus is always saving. And what the psalmist is saying is share those stories. Share those stories with other people. Talk about it all day long because there's so much more than we could ever share. It's a great conversation. Build someone up with those good stories. The good news of Jesus Christ is that he died for our sins. He died for us so that we could live forever. And that's what communion says through action. Jesus gave his body for us on the cross. That's the bread. And he shed his blood to cover our sins. That's the juice. And in those actions, we are speaking loudly about what we believe in Jesus, and we should share that with the whole world. So I'm going to pray for us, and after I pray, feel free to get the elements on either side and tell the story of how God has saved you in so many different areas of your life. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the things you're teaching us. We're never too old to stop learning. We're never too young to start learning. Teach us more about your salvation, the eternal salvation that we have through Christ, the day-to-day salvation where you just give us life in so many areas. Speak to our hearts, and may we speak to others and share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Go ahead and share communion when you're ready.